Hello and welcome to Module 3 of Ultimate Conversational Hypnosis. I'm Steve G. Jones, your teacher and your guide through this informative and fun-filled journey in which you'll discover many things about yourself and the world in which you live and how, most importantly, how to take charge of the world in which you live. In this module, we're going to be looking at representational systems, which means the way that we represent the world, the way we think about the world, and the way we talk about the world. And when we understand the way that we do that, the way that others do that, well, we find out that not all people are alike. We find out that a lot of the things we've been saying and the ways we've been saying them are probably not going to be accepted by everyone. And so we can make subtle changes in the way we're talking and have a greater impact. Now, I'm going to divide this into three major categories. The way the world of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, looks at people is with three different representational systems. And the three are visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. Now, visual people relate mostly to the things that they see. If you can paint a picture for someone who's a visual person, you'll probably gain a lot of mileage, because visual people like to talk about the world and think about the world in terms of what they see. Now, keep in mind, with each of these representational systems, they probably use, they meaning the people you're interacting with, probably use more than one representational system. Let's face it, if we've got someone who's primarily visual, meaning they like to talk about their world and think about the world in relation to what they see, well, if they've got ears also, then they must be hearing things. They must relate in some manner to the auditory sense. And if they're moving around, well, they must relate in some way to the kinesthetic sense. But it goes a little deeper than that. So let's continue our journey. The idea, of course, is to pay attention here. Pay attention to what I'm saying and think about yourself and think about other people and what they say. And you may be able to kind of think ahead and realize that your homework is going to be to have a conversation with someone and figure out what their major representational system is. It's going to be either visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. Now, you may hear hints from all three when you're talking to that person. We're looking for the major representational system, the one they use the most. So before we can ascertain that, we need to understand these. So let's continue our conversation of the visual representational system. As I've said, they'll talk in terms of what they can see. They'll say they can picture something. They'll use words such as bright or flashy. They'll talk about colors. They'll talk about seeing things from a certain perspective. They'll talk about seeing things clearly, things being in focus. They have an outlook on things. They have a point of view. These are phrases they throw out there, little hints, which you may have missed in the past, but now I'd like you to pay attention to them. They like to watch people. They admire photography and art. They also admire photography and art in advertising. So if you were to advertise to a primarily visual person, and most people are primarily visual, by the way, then you would use art in your advertising. Have you noticed how much art is in advertising? Models are used. People who look very attractive. Sleek designs. That's because most people relate to things they can see, and they like those things to be pleasant. Visual people also prefer to get a map so they can see where they're going. They like to see many movies, because they're interested in things they can watch. They like to read a lot. Books, magazines, journals, whatever they can get their hands on. They like to read a lot. To remember names, they go by visual cues. Maybe something about someone's face would remind a visual person of their name. When a visual person prepares for a test, they would probably write out something that they can look at. If you're primarily visual and you have to take a test, perhaps you can write some notes that you can read. This will help you more than anything else if you're primarily visual. Visual people are, of course, very concerned with the way they look because so much of their world is about what they can see, what they see in themselves in the mirror, and what they see in others. So look for that. Visual people are concerned with the way they look. They're able to assemble things from directions that are written. Written directions. If you want a visual person to do something, to assemble something, or to follow some orders, you would probably write it down so that they can see it and then they can follow it. While they're driving, they like to read billboards. They like to read signs because they're so visual. They like to keep records of things that are written. Anything they can see is good for them. What else do we know about visual people? Well, there's certain other words to listen for in their conversation. Pay attention to. For example, they might use words such as, or phrases such as, "That was an eyeful," or "beyond a shadow of a doubt." Or they would talk about getting clarity about something, or something being bright, something being colorful, something being clear-cut. They would talk about something demonstrating something. A demonstration is something visual that can be seen. They'll talk about examining something. They'll describe their dreams in detail. They'll talk about something being flashy or maybe foggy. They can't see it quite clearly when they describe it. It's foggy. They'll say things such as, "From my perspective," you see how that's visual? "From my perspective," in other words, from the way I see things, "at first glance," another very common visual phrase from a visually oriented person. They'll say they have a hazy idea. They might use the phrase, "That's a horse of a different color," or "I see what you mean." They'll want to imagine how something can be done. They might say the phrase, "Well, looking back," you know, looking back over the last few years. They might say, "I don't want to make a scene." They might say, "I want a mental picture of that." They might also say, "My mind is blank." Very visual perspective. My mind is blank. They like to notice things. They like to observe things. They like to paint a picture for you. They like to talk about their perception. They like to say if something's vague or clear. They'll look for telltale signs. They'll want you to show them what you mean. They might say something like, "Oh, I see the light now," or "I see what you mean," or "I recognize that." They might say that "that is plain to me, very plain to me." They might say, "That's well defined," or "I can visualize that," or "my point of view," or "I had tunnel vision," or "let me take a peek," or "he was staring off into space," or "he made a spectacle of himself." These are all phrases to listen for in conversation. When you talk to people, these are clues that you're dealing with a visually oriented person. They might say, "That's sketchy." They might say, "She was a sight for sore eyes," or He was a show-off. They might say, that's rather short-sighted. Or, I'll see to it. Or, I'm beginning to see a pattern. Or, it was revealed to me. Or, I can plainly see it. I can picture it. Here's my perspective. It was very obvious to me. I could see it with my naked eye. I could see it in my mind's eye. I could create a mental image of it. Or, it looks good to me. Or, let's focus on it. Or, in light of the fact. Or, how does it look? Or, they may use the word hindsight. These are all words which indicate that they are representing their world in terms of what they can see or can't see or can kind of see. They might say, I get the picture. They might say, I foresee this. They might say, let's meet eye to eye, or enlighten me on this, or it dawned on me. Or, I have a clearer image of what you're talking about now. Or, can you cast some light on that? Or they might use the phrase, bird's eye view. These are all clues to look for, which might indicate that you're dealing with a visual person. So keep these in mind. Keep these phrases in mind. You get the idea. We're talking about phrases or words which indicate that we're dealing with a person who likes to talk about what they see, because that's how they primarily represent their universe. Let's take a look at auditory people, or I should say, let's pay attention to what they have to say. Auditory people represent their world with sound. They will listen to you to hear what you have to say. Will tune into you. So how can we determine by carefully listening who is an auditory person? Well, auditory people like to use their free time to talk with others. They like to talk and listen. So conversation is wonderful for auditory people. They are able to concentrate intently on what another person is saying. They keep up on the news by listening to the radio. They prefer talking or listening games. They like to stop at gas stations and ask for directions when in a strange city. They prefer oral instructions from an employer. They plan the upcoming week by talking it through with someone. They use rhyming words to remember names. They prefer listening to a recording instead of reading the material. So if you are auditory, you're in luck. You're listening to me right now. When they're working on a math problem, they'll probably talk aloud so they can hear themselves think. When they review for a test, they'll read the notes aloud or talk about them with others, such as in a study group. They prefer to have someone else read the instructions when putting something together, because while they're doing it, it can be difficult to read, so they'd like to hear the instructions. Remember, these clues that I'm giving you are going to be very helpful to you. You're going to have to start paying attention to the people in your environment if you want to control them, manipulate them, and persuade them. You're going to have to get into their world. This is where it all begins, finding out their major representational system. What else do we know about auditory people? They might say phrases such as, that's clear as a bell, or that clicks with me, or I'd like to communicate something with you or discuss something with you. They might say, does it sound okay? Or, I was within earshot. Or, I had to exclaim. Or, I had to give an account of. Or, he's quite a gossip. Or, hold your tongue. Or, he was just using idle talk. Or, I'd like to inquire about something. Or, listen to me. Or, in a manner of speaking, they might describe a car by saying, it purrs like a kitten. They might say, let's get together and have a rap session about that. They might say, that really rings a bell with me. They might say, something just tells me that's the way to go. You see, they're listening to something. Something's telling them. Something just tells me that's the way to go. Or, that sounds like fun. Or, I was speechless. Or, he was giving me a lot of static. Or, the question really is, or, watch your tone. Or, I'm really going to tune in. Or, I'm really going to tune out. Or, he was very well informed. Or, he said it word for word. Or, I don't want to hear all that noise. Or, I have something to announce. Or, he was such a blabbermouth. Or, she expressed that point clearly. Or, she commented on that. Or, could you describe that in detail? Or, I've got something to divulge to you. Or, that was quite an earful. Or, could you please enunciate? Or, give me your ear, or lend me your ear, or we were in harmony, or I can really hear the rhythm, or there's a hidden message, or how does that sound to you, or that idea sounds really good to me, or I'd like to inform you, or let's talk it over, or listen carefully. Other things they might say would be things such as, pay attention, or he has very powerful speech, or she's all ears, or that sounds great, or don't squeal on me, or I'd like to suggest something, or he was such a tattletale, or well, to tell the truth, or he was tongue-tied, or that's unheard of, or she voiced her opinion, or within hearing range. They all relate to hearing. They all relate to what you can hear and what others are saying. So an auditory person relates to their world with the auditory representational system. Keep in mind that these are only clues to listen for, and this is only a short list of those clues. But I want you to get the general idea, and I want you to hear phrases that you may not have thought about before being in a particular category. Pay attention to other phrases and start categorizing people. If you can put people into a category, you can gain control over them. I know that doesn't sound quite right, but it's the way it works. If you can categorize people as visual, auditory, or kinesthetic, you're going to be able to control them. Almost everyone has the ability to relate to each of these three representational systems, yet you must pay attention to which one is the primary one. Auditory people also may say things such as, he was very outspoken, or that rings a bell, or that sounds like a winner, or I hear you, man. So pay attention to the way people talk and what they say. Now let's look at the third representational system, and that is kinesthetic. These people, kinesthetic people, people who relate to their world through this representational system, are people who like to pet animals. They can distinguish items by touch when blindfolded. They like to interact with people. They like to move within music. They like to doodle and draw on any available paper. They might be an out-of-doors type person, the outdoorsy type. They might spend a lot of time on crafts and handiwork, things they can build, create with their hands. They like to feel the texture of drapes and furniture, anything they can touch and feel. They like to touch people while talking to them. They're the people who will come up to you and put their hand on your shoulder while you're talking to them. They find it fairly easy to keep in touch with their own body. They're one of the fastest people in any group to learn new physical skills. So look for these clues about kinesthetic people. And by the way, kinesthetic means that they relate to both motion and touch. Kinesthetic people might use phrases in sentences such as all washed up or callous. You see how those phrases relate to what you can feel or what touches you or what you touch? They might say things like, he really caught on to that. You see how that's a motion? If you catch something like a baseball, it's a physical motion. They might say, oh, he was so cold, or she was very comfortable with me, or he's cool, or I embrace that idea, or I was feeling very flat, or she was so forceful, or get a load of this. You see what that phrase implies, get a load of this, as if it were a truckload of something, something physical? Or how about get in touch with this, or you need to grow, or hang in there, or he was hard-headed, or hold on, or I'm going to impress you, or I have an intuition. You see, now we're getting into the branch of the kinesthetic representational system in which we're talking about feelings. So it's not just physical feelings, things you can touch and feel and hold. It's also internal feelings. They might talk about their intuition. They also may say things like, keep your shirt on, or lay your cards on the table, or he was very lukewarm, or my sense is, or that's so much pressure, or gosh, he just kept pushing and pushing, or she was so pushy, or that just rubs me the wrong way, or she's so sensitive, or she's very sharp, or let's shift directions, or she was all shook up, or everything went smoothly, or keep a stiff upper lip, or I'm tied up right now, or that team is unbeatable, or he's really warming up to me, or that's bearable, or she's a chip off the old block, or you need to come to grips with this, or give me a concrete idea, or he's a real couch potato, or she has amazing depth, or oh, after work I was just going to fall apart, or let's lay a firm foundation, or let's get a grip on this, or let's get hold of this, or I get the drift, or they went hand in hand, or that was a heated argument. Heated argument. So when you're talking about an argument being heated, you're implying that it has a physical quality that you can feel. Like when you're around a fire, you can feel the heat from it. A heated argument. It would seem to give off some heat to them. Or how does it feel? Or I'm in the flow. Or keep in touch. Or oh, I feel so lightheaded. Or let's move forward with that. Or I'll pull some strings and see what I can do. Or he really reached out. Or they're so shallow. Or that just slipped my mind. You see how they're taking the idea of a thought and forgetting that thought and relating it to something slippery, giving it motion and feeling. You can almost feel something slippery when you think of that. Slipped my mind. Oops. So slippery, just slipped right out of my mind. That's how kinesthetic people relate to their world. If you're kinesthetic, then that's how you relate to your world. Or, that information is solid as a rock. Or, let's start from scratch. Or, he's such a stuffed shirt. Or, that tickled my fancy. Or, that's so topsy-turvy. Or, it's unbearable. So I hope you're getting the sense of kinesthetic people and how they think about their world, because the way they think about their world is the way they represent their world. And if you're wanting to get in tune with them and have a conversation that's meaningful to them, you're going to have to enter their world. What else would they say? They would say it all boils down to, they would say, I was calm, cool, and collected. They would say, you can feel it in your bones. They would say, oh, he's just trying to get your goat. Or, I can grasp it. Or, he's sharp as a tack. Or, he's a smooth operator. So I hope this short list of the things that a kinesthetic person might say really helps you now. Well, let's talk now about how to use this information. You've got all of this information now about auditory, visual, kinesthetic, and it would be nice to know how to actually use that. So let's take a look at that. First of all, you want to use it to establish rapport with people. Establishing rapport is essential, and we're going to talk more in depth later about rapport, but for right now, use this basic strategy of determining the representational system and beginning to use words just like they do. So, for example, if they're always talking about seeing your point and looking ahead to the future and things which indicate that you're dealing with a visual person, well, that's how you need to start talking when you talk to them. So, if in the past you have just relied on your charm and your winning personality, I think that's fine, but I think it's better for you to rely on getting into their world now. If they say things like, it appears to me, or beyond a shadow of a doubt, or that's clear cut, or I have a dim view, then you need to come back to them saying things like, I want to give you a mental picture of that. I want to tell you what that looks like. I want us to see eye to eye. I don't want us to be short-sighted here. I don't want to get tunnel vision. I want this to be very well-defined. So if you are talking within their representational system, they are going to understand where you're coming from, and they're going to relate to you. Talking with a different representational system is rather like talking a different language. You might as well be talking Chinese to someone who doesn't speak Chinese at all if you're not paying attention to the representational system of the individual. If they're visual, you need to talk in visual terms. Even if you are not visual, you need to practice this art. Ultimate conversational hypnosis means that you do what it takes to get the job done. If you're not visual, you need to get accustomed to using visual terminology. Now remember, we're not talking about you actually seeing eye to eye with them or having a dim view. We're just talking about using the words. Or if you're using email or texting, then those words need to be apparent there also. And those words need to be in their major representational system. If they're in your system, or just some random system, or you're just continuing to talk using random words, well, that's not actually going to help. You may be describing what you want them to buy very clearly, but maybe you're using an auditory channel to reach them. Maybe you're saying, is that loud and clear? Or, I should hold my tongue. Or, I hope you got an earful of that. Or, I hope we're on the same wavelength. If you talk about being on the same wavelength to someone who's visual, well, you've just used something auditory to relate to a visual person. And guess what? They're not going to be on your wavelength. They're on their own wavelength, and you didn't pay attention to them. So I want you to start using this information when you talk with people. But before you can use it, you have to pay attention to them. You have to just have a conversation with them. See what they have to say. If it's a conversation by email, then of course you need to read what they have to type. If it's a texting conversation, you also need to read what they have to type. Whatever delivery system you're using to communicate, you need to pay attention to how they are using their words, because this is an indication of how their mind works. And once you have unlocked it, you will be able to step into their minds, in a sense, and begin to control their world. Now, control begins with establishing rapport. You must have rapport. Rapport is just that nice, friendly relationship you have with someone. You two just seem to get along. Everything just kind of flows when you're together. That's rapport. Well, rapport doesn't come easily. And sometimes, you may have noticed in life, it doesn't come at all. But you have to get every advantage that you can on your side. If you have been struggling with dealing with someone, perhaps you might want to consider that you're not talking to them in their language, using their representational system. Perhaps you've been using your own. Perhaps you just haven't been paying attention at all. And that's fine. Until we have access to this technology, we don't really know what we're doing in conversation. So this is the first block, the first building block, establishing rapport. And it all starts with paying attention. So I want you to begin to pay attention to how people talk and what they say. All right, so how about a quiz? Are you ready for a quiz? And keep in mind, I'm working on a doctorate in education, so I'm very interested in you being a student and learning this information. One of the tried and true ways of learning is by taking quizzes and doing homework. Quizzes make sure you're paying attention, and homework gives you something to do to reinforce the learning. So let's get started with the quiz. I'm going to use a series of phrases, and I want you, in each of the phrases that I use, to decide if it's visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. Now, don't worry about being graded on this quiz, because there are no grades. But if you find that you're getting more than three wrong, I want you to review the information. I want you to review it anyway. But if you're getting more than three wrong, I want you to review it before moving on, just to make sure that you understand the information here. Question number one. And you don't have to write these down if you don't want to. In fact, if you're visual, you probably just want to see them in your mind's eye. Of course, if you're visual, you might want to write them down to see them. Kinesthetic people enjoy writing things down also because of the motion of the pen or pencil. Whereas auditory people just want to sit back and listen to what I have to say and think about how their answer sounds. Whichever way you want to do this is fine. What about someone who typically reads billboards and signs while driving or riding? What type of person would that be? And again, the three answers are visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. So a person who typically reads billboards and signs while driving or riding. What about someone who talks aloud while working a math problem? That's question number two. Someone who talks aloud while working a math problem. Are they visual, auditory, or kinesthetic? What about someone who likes to pet animals? Someone who likes to pet animals. Visual, auditory, or kinesthetic? What about someone who moves with the music? When they hear music, you see them moving, swaying, rocking with the music. What type of person would that be? Visual, auditory, or kinesthetic? That was question number four. Now question number five. What about someone who creates images in their mind to remember names? What kind of person would that be? Someone who creates images in their mind to remember names. That's question number five. Question number 6. Someone who likes to watch people. You know, someone who likes to go to Disneyland or Disney World and just sit there and people watch. Or go to the mall and sit there and people watch, or in the park. What type of person would that be? How about an outdoorsy person? An outdoorsy person. That's number 7. An outdoorsy person. Number 8. How about a person who uses rhyming words to remember names? Number 8. Someone who uses rhyming words to remember names. Number 9. Someone who prefers to keep up on the news by listening to the radio. Number 9. Person who prefers to keep up on the news by listening to the radio. They could watch TV or read it on the internet, but they prefer to listen to it on the radio. What about a person who mainly uses the sense of touch to put something together? That's number 10. Someone who uses the sense of touch to put something together. Okay, now let's go through the answers. Question number 1 was someone who typically reads billboards and signs while driving or riding. That's a visual person. They like to see what's going on. They can read it on the billboards. They can read it on the signs. Question number 2. Someone who talks aloud while working on a math problem. It's an auditory person. They like to hear themselves working through it. Question number 3. Someone who likes to pet animals. A kinesthetic person. Just because someone has animals, don't assume that they're kinesthetic. They have to enjoy physically interacting with them, petting them. Number 4. Someone who moves with the music. Just because someone listens to music, don't assume that they are the answer to this question, which is kinesthetic. If you listen to music, that would make you more auditory. If you move with the music, you're kinesthetic. So, number 4, someone who moves with the music, kinesthetic. 5, someone who uses images, mental images, to remember names. That's a visual person. They want to boil that name down to something they can see. Visual. Number 5, visual. Question number 6. Someone who likes to people watch. At Disneyland, Disney World, or the park, or the mall. Someone who likes to watch people, or people watch. That's a visual person. Number 7. An outdoorsy person. An outdoorsman. Or an outdoors woman. Someone who likes to get outside in the great outdoors. That's a kinesthetic person. They're all about motion and touching. Getting out there and really enjoying life firsthand. Another kinesthetic phrase, by the way, firsthand. Okay, so number 7, kinesthetic. Number 8, someone who uses rhyming words to remember names. It's an auditory person. They want to boil that name down to something they can hear. Number 8, auditory. Number 9, a person who keeps up on the news by listening to the radio. Auditory person. And number 10, someone who uses the sense of touch to put something together. That's a kinesthetic person. A touchy-feely person, if you will. Well, hopefully that quiz was easy for you. However, if you missed more than 3, I recommend that you go back and listen to this material again before moving on to the next module. If you got them all right, congratulations. You have a very strong foundation on which we can build. Believe me, the information gets a lot more interesting and intricate. I'm a doctoral level student, and I like to raise you up slowly to a very high level of understanding. So join me as we build slowly this knowledge. As I mentioned, I want you to do homework, and I want you to see the importance of it as you feel how good it feels to hear me say that you can do it. You see how I combined all the senses, all the primary representational systems? Your homework is to go somewhere, and it can either be home or work or to a party, and talk to one person. Just pick one person. It can be your spouse. It can be someone you've never met. It can be a coworker. It can be a boss. It can be an employee. Doesn't matter. But pick someone, and I want you to have a conversation with them. I'd prefer it to be a face-to-face conversation, but a phone conversation will do. Face-to-face is always better because you can really see how their body language is working with and complementing the words that they're saying. You can really get a sense for them. Now, interestingly enough, in working with couples and doing this sort of exercise, I have found that couples who have been together many years, 20, 30, 40 years, don't know the primary representational system of their significant other. They haven't paid attention on that level. And that's okay, because perhaps they didn't have access to this technology. It's completely understandable. But it's very enlightening for them to find out that this person they've been with all these years, they're only just now beginning to understand. Maybe they've been trying to get that person to do something so simple like taking out the trash, or doing the dishes, or putting the toilet seat down, or any number of things that husbands and wives and couples of all sorts have trouble getting the other person to do. I want you to pay attention to the representational system of the person, and I want you to find out as quickly as you can whether they're visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. Do that just by paying attention to what they say. Have a normal conversation with them. You don't have to say, oh, well, my homework from Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, is... You don't have to say any of that. Just have a normal conversation with them. Of course, if you normally ignore them, they may find it odd. But find someone you can have a conversation with. Talk with them. Listen to what they say and how they say it. If they seem to be using visual, auditory, and kinesthetic phrases, pay attention to which one they use the most. One of them is going to be more prominent than the other two. In order to get this data from them, you're going to have to get them talking a lot. Ask them about their day. If you're married to them, you might be surprised to find out that people like that question. They want to feel that you care about how their day was. Ask them how their day was. Ask them what they'd like to do this weekend. Ask them if they have any plans in the future that they want to talk about. Just start conversation that seems normal for you and that person, but perhaps a little more lengthy than usual, so you can get them talking a lot. Then the fun begins. Once you have their primary representational system, I want you to start using that with them from now on. Don't just do it for the homework and then stop doing it. From now on, I want you to relate to that person using their primary representational system. This is going to allow you to establish rapport. This person is going to begin to see you as being like them, someone they can relate to, someone they can trust, someone they feel, though they don't know why, someone they feel close to. It can be a child that you talk to. It can be a parent that you talk to. Doesn't matter to me. Talk to someone, find out their primary representational system, and then, probably within about 5 or 10 minutes of the conversation, you can probably at that point start using it, and use it from then on. Every single time you talk to them, use that primary representational system when you're talking with them. If you want them to feel that you are in rapport with them, you're going to have to start doing this. Start using those phrases. Go over and over this module until you really understand the vast number of types of phrases they would use, and start using those phrases. Let go of the way you've been trying to talk with them. It's probably not doing you any good anyway. Let go of that and start talking to them in their language. You've probably been talking Chinese to a Frenchman. You've probably been talking Japanese to an English-speaking person. You need to change that. You need to make sure you're talking visual to a visual person, auditory to an auditory person, or kinesthetic to a kinesthetic person. Those are the three languages. So go ahead, have some fun with this, learn about that person, because you probably didn't even know this about them. Learn about that person, the way they represent their world, and then start using it to gain rapport with them. And you're going to find you have power with them as well. So begin to feel your muscles flexing now. Can you feel that? That's right. Muscles are beginning to grow. We're going to get them some protein in the modules coming up. We're going to feed those muscles. You keep exercising, and I'll keep feeding you the protein. Deal? Okay. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding day.